Today we're discussing caring for LGBTQ plus patients and how their dermatologic needs might vary from others, as well as how healthcare professionals, specifically in the dermatology sphere, can be allies for their LGBTQ plus patients while also addressing their skin needs. Let's dive right in. Today I have joining me Dr. Angelo Landresina, board-certified dermatologist at Mount Sinai Doctors Brooklyn Heights, located in Brooklyn, New York. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Today's topic we're talking about is, you know, caring for LGBTQ plus patients and how their dermatologic needs might vary from others. So my first question is, you know, how do dermatologic treatments and needs of these LGBTQ plus patients differ from cisgender patients?
So in general, when talking about, you know, sexual and gender minority patients, you could probably split that up into two big categories. So first, sexual minority patients. So these are people who may identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, asexual, pansexual, etc. And then on the other side of that, you have gender minority patients who may identify as transgender, genderqueer, non-binary, etc. Their dermatologic needs on the whole, I think, are very varied even within those communities. So one of the things that I quite often bring up is that no matter what their identity, these are communities that are quite often marginalized various different ways, and sometimes even systematically, depending on the identity. So first realizing the level of stress that may be there for these patients. So, you know, if you're more likely to be victimized, homeless, less educated, underinsured, food insecure, etc., that's going to impact your overall health. And even thinking about something like, you know, inflammatory skin disease of any kind, we know that most of them are impacted by stress. So these patients may be having a rougher go of it in general. And for many reasons, their skin disease may be more recalcitrant. Second, realizing sort of the health risks encountered by specific communities. So most of the classic teaching in medicine around this has to do solely with men who have sex with men, is much less studied in other sexual and gender minorities. And it is often boiled down to, you know, just men who have sex with men are at higher risk for HIV and other STIs. And I think that that's like a gross oversimplification of the issue, not only because it ignores so many other populations under this LGBTQ plus umbrella, but also because even those patients face different risks. We know that men who have sex with men have a higher overall risk of skin cancer. That's something that's not brought up a lot solely because the ideas that we have about treating queer patients are quite reductive. When it comes to treating gender minority patients, our patients who identify as trans may undergo medical transitions. That can include surgery, that can include cross-sex hormone therapy. And those treatments have potential dermatologic sequelae that we can help to ameliorate. I have been a big proponent of the creation of a field of supportive gender-affirming dermatology, just in the same way that we think about supportive oncodermatology as us dermatologists supporting patients through their cancer treatment in order for them to have the best outcomes. We can also support these gender minority patients in their gender affirmation in order for them to have the best outcomes too.
Absolutely. And, you know, my next question is, you know, how does being a part of the LGBTQ plus community influence you as a dermatologist? Are there any challenges associated with it?
I think just getting to this point, being a queer person, there have been many challenges because, you know, medicine is not a field that has always been accepting of people that are different. I, however, have, you know, prided myself in the fact that I am somebody who has always been out in the profession, and I do kind of want to be that beacon for young people who want to go into medicine, who are queer, and I want to be the one to tell them, hey, it's possible and you can be yourself and we need you, because we do need more open out queer physicians, especially dermatologists. Thankfully, you know, the field of dermatology has been more interested in recent years in helping our sexual and gender minority patients, and that's been great. But I think that having more of us out there to take care of patients should be one of the ultimate goals. Just the other day, I had a young patient in my office almost in tears because they were so happy that they had encountered a doctor that was queer, that up until this point in their life, they never had a doctor that they could identify with. And, you know, since I was able to understand them, they were just so happy to have found me. I'm sorry, but like nothing beats that feeling of having a patient finally feel like they can be themselves and be comfortable with you and get the care that they need. I would also say, you know, just thinking about the fact that it's been shown through survey data that, you know, many sexual and gender minority patients are distrustful of the healthcare system. And how could they not be? This is a system that historically has pathologized both same-sex attraction and thoughts of transness in general. And it still plays out today. Think about, you know, going to your doctor's appointment and having to check off a gender box, and there are only two options, neither of which describes you. Having to explain yourself in that way, to be misgendered, to be disrespected in that way. So I think that we have a lot of work to do just as a medical field in general. You know, one of the first steps is having more queer doctors, and then also, even, you know, if you don't identify as queer, becoming more well-versed in these issues and trying to change the systems around us to be more welcoming and competent in taking care of these patients.
You know, and on to that, you know, how can healthcare professionals, specifically in the dermatology sphere, be allies for their LGBTQ plus patients while also addressing their skin needs?
So one of the things that I always try to advocate for is the routine collection of data about sexual orientation and gender identity. The reason for this is twofold. First, much of the reason that we don't have data or research around these populations is that that information is not collected. So even wanting to do a basic chart review study, if the data points aren't there, you can't do it. Secondly, it's been shown through research that patients do want to disclose this information. Their preferred method of doing it is through intake forms, and that they think of that process as something that shows that you value their identities. So in my clinic, a new patient, one of the first things on their intake form is answering questions about sexual orientation, sex assigned at birth, current gender identity. And I think that that shows them from the start that I am a doctor who is competent in taking care of patients like them. The third sort of benefit for this is that you as the clinician, before you even walk in the room, if you've collected that data, you already know what pronouns to use. You already know how this patient identifies. So in that way, it's difficult to make mistakes. So I think that that is potentially the easiest thing that dermatologists can do in order to make a huge difference in taking care of these patients.
And my last question, do you have any advice for your fellow dermatologists when treating this patient population?
So a lot of the basics that we learned in our doctoring courses back in medical school still apply here. Like if you don't know something or you don't understand something, you can ask the patient. Don't be afraid of asking questions respectfully. I think that's probably, you know, my other number one piece of advice. Say, you know, a patient identifies in a way that you don't understand, ask them about it, just because it keeps you from making mistakes. It shows the patient that you value their identity. And I think that, you know, that helps to form that doctor-patient relationship. It shows the patient that you care for them. And I think you can never go wrong.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and you have a great day.
Thank you for having me.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.